My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I hope that this finds you thriving and finds you well. Today, we are talking about the art of surrender and of letting go. The time that I plan to send this, we will most likely be talking a lot about no contact at BGH, or at least about to start talking a lot about no contact. And no contact, or just any time when you are needing to let go of expectations of folks and learning how to focus on yourself and focus on what you are in control of and learning how to receive the goodness in your life from the other available people in your life. It involves some surrender. It involves you being able to release some things that you thought you would be able to manipulate or maneuver, and usually a lot of grief. And so I saw this YouTube video and came across my, I don't think on YouTube it's called your FYP, but it came across my homepage that was semi-viral of this older woman talking about letting go. And in her letting go, she read this poem about letting go. And I felt like it was the most beautiful description of what it looks like to let go, and also what it looks like to surrender, and also to learn how to receive goodness on the other side of that. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to share that poem with you, and then I'm going to share with you three lessons and three takeaways when it comes to learning how to surrender and be open and available to the good things in our life, to the love, to the connection, and support that we all deeply crave, need, and deserve. So that's it for now. Let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
For this episode of Black Girls Heal, we've partnered with eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. I think one of the hardest things about dating apps and the quickest way to have an immediate turnoff is if the first few messages aren't on point. Whether or not it's the generic, hey, something inappropriately suggestive, or the 10,000th, hey, how was your day? It can get old very quick. And even on your side, sometimes not knowing what to say because you don't know if you'll have much in common or how to break the ice. Conversations on dating apps can be boring, but it doesn't have to be. And that's where our sponsor eHarmony comes in. Their compatibility quiz helps bring out people's personality on their profiles. They highlight similarities, you have a potential matches, so you have a better jumping off point for the conversation. It's way more fun when you're actually talking about something you like and not what you ate for lunch. Plus, they disable copy and paste for the first messages, so you'll get better messages that lead to better conversations. With eHarmony, you're already one step ahead when it comes to meeting someone who gets you. So check out eHarmony, take their compatibility quiz to get started today, and get who gets you on eHarmony. So the name of this poem is called Just Let Them, and it's by an author named Cassie Phillips. And so I'm going to just jump in and share the poem because I think it's really going to speak for itself all on its own. Here we go. Just let them. If they want to choose something or someone over you, let them. If they want to go weeks without talking to you, let them. If they are okay with never seeing you, let them. If they're okay with always putting themselves first, let them. If they are showing you who they are and not what you perceive them to be, let them. If they want to follow the crowd, let them. If they want to judge or misunderstand you, let them. If they act like they can live without you, let them. If they want to walk out of your life and leave, hold the door open. And let them. Let them lose you. You were never theirs because you were always your own. So let them. Let them show you who they truly are, not tell you. Let them prove how worthy they are of your time. Let them make the necessary steps to be a part of your life. Let them earn your forgiveness. Let them call you to talk about ordinary things. Let them take you out on a Thursday. Let them talk about anything and everything just because it's you they are talking to. Let them have a safe place in you. Let them see the heart in you that didn't harden. Let them love you. So this poem, when I first heard it, I was like, oh my gosh, straight to the heart of whenever you're connected to someone who is avoidant or indifferent, or you see how good things can be, how great a friend you could be if y'all just got to hang out a little bit more, how great y'all would be in a relationship if they were ready in different ways, how amazing a mother-daughter relationship you would have if you would just go to therapy, how much better they would feel about the mistakes they've made in their childhood if they would just answer the phone and let someone in and let someone love them. But in all those things, in all those cases, you have never been able to make them, force them, convince them to do anything different. Even when you get to a place where you understand that, where you understand that you can't control other people, it doesn't always stop the pain. It doesn't stop the yearning, the bargaining that you have in your head as you're going through the grief of what could be or what could have been. It doesn't stop you from still feeling in pain about the relationship that either you lost or the fantasy that you've wanted to hold on to. What I really love about this poem and about the way that she's talking about letting go and letting them is it's not just understanding that you've never been able to control others. It's about surrendering to the fact that they get to choose. They get to make their own decision. And you also get to choose. You also get to choose to surrender, to focus on what is in front of you, to focus on your own plot of ground, and to nurture and to build what's there. So this whole poem is not about just bad-mouthing the people who have disappointed you and people that you wanted to be there, wanted to love you. It could easily be one of those memes or declarations that, you know, just let people go who don't deserve to be there. But I love how when she comes to the end, she starts to focus on allowing people to love you. One of the lines in the poem is, "Let them see the heart in you that didn't harden." And that is a place that so many of us can be, or maybe some of us are, or maybe we were in the past, depending on where you are in your healing journey, to where you've had so much disappointment, so much heartbreak, so much loss, that your heart is just kind of hardened to being able to be open to love again. It's hard for you to even want to trust others, if you even can trust others, if you feel like you're capable of trusting others. You feel like you can't go through one more heartbreak, one more time that you put yourself out there. And it's a lot easier to put those walls up. What it looks like in that respect, when it comes to focusing on your own plot of ground, is not just looking at the things that you can control. It's like this garden of life that you have available to you. It slowly compresses into this 3 foot by 3 foot square, where it's just you inside of it, and there's walls around it and nobody can get in. And so you're safe and contained. But you're also cramped. Also, the air is kind of stale. It's hard for the grass to grow when you're within that little confined place. Yeah, you're protected in a way, but you can't really live and you can't really expand and you can't stretch out your arms and you can't receive anything. First of all, nothing can get to you. And you also can't open your arms to receive even if you wanted to. So I love this poem because it's talking about allowing yourself to let go of the things and the people that have not been the right fits for you and surrendering them. The energy that I feel when I listen to this about the surrender is not one of indignation and not one of like kind of self-righteousness or even righteous anger, but it's one of peace. It's one of relief. It's one of acceptance and it's one of grace. And what can happen sometimes for those of us who may be recovering people pleasers, and especially, of course, love addicts, all love addicts are codependent. Not all codependents are love addicts. But for those of us who have a tendency to attach too hard or champion other people's emotions and experiences over us, we've had a semblance of what this looks like to release others and to let them in, to surrender them and to let them go. but in the past has been synonymous with not holding on to what are clear boundaries and clarity in what happened should not have happened. And I did not deserve for that to happen. In other words, sometimes if we grew up to be codependent or people pleasers or over attachers, we don't allow ourselves to feel the anger that is righteously and should be there whenever someone disrespects us, dishonors us, and hurts us. When that happens, when we're not in touch with that, when we self-deny that and we self-abandon, we actually make ourselves more susceptible to people coming in and hurting us because there are no rules. There are no limits. There are no boundaries. If you hurt me, I'm just going to continue to forgive you. I'm just going to continue to let go and surrender and just focus on myself. When sometimes it is right for you to be like, what the hell did you do? Who the F do you feel like you're talking to? There's no way that you get to be connected to me when you hurt me in this way. What I really love about this poem is that understanding and that energy. What I take from this, and maybe, of course, art, literature, poetry is always subjective. What I take from this is that the author has reached a place where she has gone past that anger. She has processed it. She's sat in it. She's owned it. She's very clear on who she is, what she wants, and what she deserves. And she's also clear on that the best way that you can see other people is to see exactly what they're saying, what they're doing, what they're giving you. And from there, that's where I'm going to make the decision to let them go. I'm going to let them go and I'm going to let them do what they do. And I get to focus on myself and focus on the people who do understand me, the people who do want to spend time with me, the people who do want to see me. And I'm not going to try to bargain with, convince, and change other folks to try to see the light, to try to see what they're missing out on, because that's not my job. And they get to live the life that they want to live. And I get to live a life that makes me feel good and makes me feel connected as well. So with that, let's talk about, and I've kind of already jumped into the first takeaway that I have from this poem is number one, realizing that you can't control others and believing people when they show you who they are. I'm going to repeat a few of the first lines of this poem again. If they want to choose something or someone over you, let them. If they can go weeks without talking to you, let them. If they're okay never seeing you, let them. If they're okay always putting themselves first, let them. If they're showing you who they are and not who you perceive them to be, then let them. If they want to judge you or misunderstand you, let them. And if they act like they can live without you, then open the door and let them, right? And so we may have people who tell us things. That's the other thing that came. There's a line that comes almost right after that that says, let them show you who they really are and not tell you. So often I will talk with women who are connected to people who are doing most, if not all, of the things that are in that first stanza. And they'll be like, but they're telling me such great things. And when we talk on the phone, it's like no time has passed. And I just feel like they can be such a safe space for me. But they are actively avoiding being available for you. It doesn't matter what someone says, it matters what they do. And actually, that's not the truth, especially in the realm of relationships that I talk about here. They're both true. Actually, we need to pay attention to both of them. If I have someone who's physically present and they're buying me things and they're showing up places and stuff, but their language is controlling towards us, they are negging me, they're insulting me. They will show up for me in ways that I want them to, but they're also insulting me afterward. Or actively spending time with other folks that make me feel uncomfortable and make me feel jealous because there's something just about it that doesn't feel right, but they're telling me everything's okay. But I keep gaslighting myself because in their actions, supposedly everything's fine. Both matter. Their words and their actions both need to go together. And so when I get to the place where I realize that I can't control other people and they get to, I have no right to try to step into someone's life and say, you know what? I think we would be perfect together. This is what you're required to do. I could tell people my standards, but I can't make anyone do anything. All I can do is give them the information gently and openly, let go of the outcome and let them do what they're going to do. When we try to wrestle and control, when we take personally whether or not someone shows up for us to make it mean as if we are less than or not worthy enough or not good enough, that's injury that we're putting onto ourselves. That's not any injury that anyone's giving to us. That's what we're receiving and internalizing. And so if I can get to a place in life where I'm at this place of surrender, but this balanced surrender, not where I'm denying myself, not where I'm abandoning myself and abandoning my needs. I know who I am and I know I'm deserving and I love myself, but I'm also open to love and to other people. When I get to this balanced place, right? We talk about being love balanced here. We talk about being love available here as healed and loved women. We want to be love balanced and loved available. That is the goal for us, to not always live in the problem of love addiction and love avoidance and love deprivation, but for us to move towards and seek out the solution, which is the lifestyle of a healed and loved woman. When we're able to get to this place, that's when we are able to say, okay, you get to be exactly who you are, and so do I. No skin off my nose, no hard feelings. I get to let you go and release you. And I don't have to keep you around out of pity. I'm not obligated to keep you as a friend. I'm not obligated to keep you as a partner, but if I want to, I get to, but I get to put you at the level that I want to put you at. You want to be in my inner circle, but you're not actually at the place where you have the standards and the requirements to be there. So you don't get to be there. You get to have all of the feelings you want to have about that, but this is where you get to be. Even though this podcast episode is focused on allowing other people to leave, we need to understand that we also are not perfect people and perfect women. And there may be people in our own lives that have had to put us in that place because of how we've shown up. Maybe we've shown up in our own dysfunction. We've shown up in our own anger and rage. We've shown up in our own avoidance or love addiction. And that person has tried to put down boundaries. They've had to put down standards to say, hey, this is not okay. I talk often about those of us who either are or have been in relationships, friendship, family, romantic, and otherwise, with people who are securely attached. You absolutely will have an experience with them where you may be projecting some stuff. You may be in your trauma. You may be trying to accuse them of something or trying to pick a fight. And a securely attached, healthy person, when they're in their balanced state, is going to call you on that. They're either going to say, no, that's not okay. They're going to say, come talk to me later when you're ready. They're going to say, look, I understand you're upset, but you don't get to talk to me that way. They get to say, you know what? Let's take a break. They get to say, hey, I really don't want to hang out anymore. They get to break up with you. They get to have whatever standards they have because they know what they are worth and they know what they need. And so if we want to have relationships with healthy people, we got to be those healthy people. We have to be just as self-accountable as we want other people to be as well, and show up in our best self. So realizing that you can't control others, believe people when they show you their actions, when they are acting in all of these ways. So many times I will have women, I know I already said this in this episode, I'll have women who will list these things and then be like, well, Sheena, but what about this? What if this? We could talk about it. Because maybe there is something that's going on. Maybe there is something that might be worth looking at, but a lot of times it's not. Because the people who want to show up for you and be available for you, even if there's a real barrier, they're going to do everything they can in other ways to compensate for that, to let you know that you're a priority and to let you know that you're special and that you're protected. They're just not going to let this area be a gap and not be attended to.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
Are you a scents girly? Do you have your own signature perfume profile? Or do you surround yourself with smells that just make you feel good? I love scents that are refreshing, uplifting, and especially those that make you feel as if you are at a warm, sunny day at the beach. And that's exactly why I love using Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil. It smells just like summer, bottled with all natural, uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. But it's not just about the beautiful smell. This body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving your skin silky and soft. And with this oil, you get the benefits of clean, vegan skin and body care that always leaves you glowing. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code BGH at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code BGH for 10% off. So letting people go in that way is the first takeaway that I took. The second takeaway is the need for you to be available to let others in, the need for you to let others say yes, and to allow yourself to say yes, to not be afraid of love and connection, to not be afraid of people who are being available, to not be afraid of people who want to get to know you. So at the time I'm recording this, I just recorded my latest open house for the recovery school. And that is where I join people who are wanting to work together live to talk about the program and to break down like what it looks like and give you a chance to enroll. But at the very beginning, I always talk about the archetypes. And I always talk about the different archetypes under love addiction, love avoidance, and love deprivation, because there's different types. I know that's redundant because types is in the name archetypes, but you get what I'm saying. Different variations and ways that it may show up. One of the archetypes that always get a lot of attention are when I'm talking about under love avoidance, my folks who actually have a whole lot of connection to folks. They are actually pretty popular and they have a lot of folks that may be around them. And so they're kind of hiding in plain sight. The way that they hide is that they spread themselves out through so many people that no one actually gets a chance to get to know them. They actually never get a chance to go deep with them. And even if they do go deep with a person or with a friend, they spread out the time in between those connections with them so that that type of intensity and energy is diffused. It feels safer for them. They don't feel as overwhelmed to keep having all this connection and intimacy with the person so back to back. Their nervous system can't handle it. The fear of being over-controlled, of being their overstimulation, they're not used to that amount of social engagement. It equals danger versus safety, which is what it's supposed to feel like in a healthy and balanced place. So what happens is I talk about that and I talk about how you may have people who you really love and connect to and you really like them, but when they're trying to spend too much time with you and trying to be around you too much, it can feel intrusive, it can feel offensive, you can start to resent them for it and get low-key angry about it, and it's because you may not be available. Now, what happens too is I have people who have worked their program already, the program that I teach in the recovery school, or they've gone through a whole lot of healing. And so we're talking about their new versions of relationship. And sometimes what we're looking at is avoidant behaviors. And sometimes it is that you're just introverted, or it is that you're just very stressed out and you haven't been taking a lot of time for yourself. And so you're overwhelmed. And that's why you just don't have the energy for people, not because you're trying to push people away, but because you need to learn how to sit down and you need to learn how to invest in your rest and in your pleasure. And so we can spend a whole lot of time worrying about the what ifs, but the main way that you're going to work through this is to focus on the only person that you can control, which is yourself, and learning yourself very intimately, learning your triggers, learning what it feels like when you feel pleasure. Do you run from it? Do you allow yourself to feel it? What does it feel like when you trust people? Do you even know what that feels like in your body? Can you even trust people? When you can't, what does that feel like? When you can't and it's validating, or like it's a real danger, what does that feel like? Versus when you feel like you can't trust people, but it's your trauma response and your hypervigilance that comes out. Do you know the difference between that? Even if you don't know the difference between it, you have tools and the ability to reset or community around you where you can process that to figure out which one it is. Do you have any access to your own self-trust around them? But the main takeaway here, the second takeaway that I really want to focus on, is we need to not spend as much time focused on the problem, but really start to look at the solution, because that is what we want. That's why I've said this so many times before in my own FYP, in my own social media, because I am on social media. I do love my social media, as y'all may know. I've had to intentionally unfollow people who are full of drama and people who have a whole lot of stress in their life, and not just romantically, but if there are people complaining about certain topics and I just feel my body getting triggered and upset, that's not what I'm wanting. I'm wanting communities, people, situations, examples of people living in laughter, living in joy, living in the solution, because that's where I'm going. I've had almost 40 years up to this point of countless examples of trauma, of countless examples of heartbreak, of countless examples of mess and generational trauma. I know that very well. And even though there was a point in my life that hearing these stories, and even, you know, I'm not going to act as if there won't ever be a point, depending on different things that I go through, where commiserating with other people or just being kind of like in the energy and in the space of where people who are also going through it feels so validating and is exactly what I need. There have absolutely been seasons of that. But now, being in that energy just keeps me stuck. So I have to go towards where the solutions are. I need to see the solutions, especially if I've never experienced them before.
I need to make it so that that's my normal. I need to expand my mind and belief when it comes to that. So what I've talked about here on the podcast, specifically related to what I teach here with relationships, is I had to stop watching, you know, bad dating stories. I had to stop watching folks who were only focused on living a life of solitude all of the time, which is a difference, by the way, between finding fulfillment and connection in an intimate relationship with yourself and truly loving yourself and being your own best friend and taking care of your inner child. That's not what I mean. I'm talking about people who are committing to a life of solitude because most of these people are based on their hatred and distrust of men, based on just kind of this really dystopian view of the world. And so there's balance to that. And if this is your first podcast episode you're listening to, you may not know that I understand that. And I've talked about that before, that there are real predators and people who are dangerous and real issues with patriarchy and misogynoir and how all this affects our lives daily. That is very real. And just hoping on a wish and a prayer does not erase those real things from happening. And I get to choose what I focus on. I get to choose what thoughts I get to put me to bed at night. Do I, when I lay down at night, want to have the last thoughts before I go to sleep to be like, love is not possible for me. The world is full of destruction. Nothing even matters anymore. Da, 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 da. How does that feel in my body? How does that help me feel? Versus thoughts of love is abundant for me. Love comes to me in all forms. I'm surrounded by connection and community. I get to have what I want. I'm deserving of love and connection. I get to be in control of my emotions every day. I get to control my perspective. In both of those sets, y'all, I want y'all to understand that thoughts are neutral. There's no such thing as bad or good thoughts versus the meanings that you attach to them. So for some folks, they may look at the first set of thoughts, and for them, it may feel empowering, especially depending on the season that they're in. If they've just gone through a lot of heartbreak and folks who have disappointed them, and they did put themselves out there and they got deceived and they keep meeting people who are predators and they keep meeting people who are gaslighting them, trying to tell them to pursue, what is it called? When it's like negative, positive psychology, right? Where it's the dysfunctional version, where you're just basically living in complete denial. If that has been my experience, where no one has let me have my truth and real painful things have happened to me, those are exactly the thoughts that I need to have to heal. Those are exactly the thoughts that I need that are going to keep me comforted and to soothe me and to help me get out of the dark pit that I'm in. But you're the one who gets to choose which set of thoughts feel the most empowering and enlightening to you. What I want you to have, what I want every single person who listens to this to have, is I want them to feel balance and peace and relief in their body and their nervous system and their heart. I want you, when you walk down the street, to feel connected to the light that's inside of you. I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt how amazing and valuable and treasured you are and how deserving you are and how there's no mistake in you. And how you get to be loved and you get to have a life that looks the way that you want it to look, that you get to live in your purpose and you get to have people around you who are for you and not against you. I want you to be abundant. I want you to be in your prosperity. I only share those examples for you to know that in case you're someone who is stuck and you've kind of outgrown the places of your life that did used to feel nurturing to you, that you can move. You can move to a different place. And if you are at a place where you are at, why can I think of the word, where the positive psychology, let me Google real quick. Let me pause. Toxic positivity. There you go. You are someone who, even all the things that I've been saying for you has been toxic positivity, that there are parts of your trauma and your inner child work that you have not been allowing yourself to connect to because it feels too dark or you're afraid that it's going to manifest somehow or that you're not able to clear out these negative feelings because you keep trying to mask it, then maybe there are some other places of your life that you have to live in your truth. But the goal is balance. And the goal is you're the only one who knows what that looks like for you. So you get to decide. I've given both sides of those spectrums for you to figure out what feels best for you. But again, the main takeaway, a little bit of a tangent there. The main takeaway, the second takeaway from the poem that I wanted to really focus on is in all of this, once you allow people out, and you release them and you allow them to move, you have open space to be able to receive folks into your life as well. You're able to receive folks to love you. So like I said, you know, right now, while we are talking on the podcast or in the community, at the time I post this, I believe when we post this, we're going to be talking about no contact. I'm at a place right now where I'm just opening doors to so many different things that have been closed. And so if you're on my mailing list, you already know there's been a podcast program that's come out for those who are podcasters and they want to really work on getting your message out or getting started and you've been stuck or you are wanting to just really expand and grow. This podcast has over 9 million downloads at this point. It spans across the world, and I've been able to work with really great brands. So put out The Prosperous Podcaster, which you can learn about at theprosperouspodcaster.com if you're interested in that. I am opening doors to our Healed and Loved Woman Retreat and planning that right now. So I think by the time that this is posted, the doors will be open. And if it's not open officially, the folks on my mailing list are getting like first dibs to register. So that's coming up. The no contact and support community for those of you who are just like, I just need to let go of a person. Maybe the recovery school is a great thing and maybe I want to do it later on, or maybe I don't have the budget for it. But just right now, this person that I'm attached to, I cannot let go of them, or I can, but I need ongoing support. Like one little drop in podcast episode or one mini course, whatever is fine. But I need someone to walk me through this and to check in with me through this until I'm done, until I'm able to be done, and then I'm out. So that's doing it. And then also this is open, but this latest course that I'm working on getting out there is about for those of us who are in love, either we are currently in love, we want to be, we have been in love, and that's when our avoidance came out. That's when we started to push the people away. That's when we started to not let them in. So that course, let me see, am I going to say this? Because I'm recording these weeks ahead of time now. I'll go ahead and say it. That course is going to be called I'm in Love, Now What? How to Heal Our Love Avoidance. Because there are so many of you who have worked with you before, you're in your partnerships, and now you're like, girl, you told me that it was going to be hard, but I don't believe you. Help. It's just a different level. So that's what I am currently working on. And so we'll see if that is open. And also at the time of recording this, the next week and a few days, I'm going on a writing retreat to finally finish the books so that they can be published and get to the final editors so that they can go out and y'all can have those resources in your hands as well. So it's a very exciting season of resources for everyone, especially as we're halfway through the summer, right when we are going to start to be more cognizant of intimacy and connection and relationships and our emotions and triggers and the holidays. And it comes quick. It comes somehow like right around after 4th of July, it's like downhill. And maybe it's because some of us start celebrating Christmas in July. I'm one of those people, for those of you who are like me, and for those of you who are not, I'm so sorry. Sorry. I hope that you get access to some holiday joy. And I know it's probably me. Those of you who are like, Christmas does not start until after Thanksgiving. You are yelling at the phone right now. Sorry, but not sorry. Anyways. So a big time of creation for me, which I'm really excited about, and getting these resources out to you as well. But all that to say, I want you to become available. I want you to be available and to be able to stay available and to be able to receive all the things that you've been praying and asking for and healing towards. So the third takeaway from today's poem that I shared on today's episode that I really wanted to talk about is the common denominator on either side, whether or not it is you letting go of folk or whether or not it's you letting people in. And that common denominator that I see is surrender, the art of surrendering and the art of letting go. Here are three components of surrender that I think is important for you to be able to do this. The first component is self-trust. The second component is faith. And the third component is the ability to receive. So self-trust in regards to surrender. Self-trust for me under the umbrella of surrender looks like knowing that you are going to make the right decision. A lot of times we don't want to let go and let people in and move forward in this art of surrender either way. And whether or not it's releasing people who aren't really good for us or letting in new people who seem like they are, it's because we don't trust that we're going to make the right decision. We don't trust that us letting this person go is accurate. What if this is the one? What if this is my best friend? What if this is my last opportunity? What if I regret this next week? What if I regret it tonight? What if this was the only access to love and connection, and I live in a life of ultimate dismay because my one true love is now gone and I don't get any do-overs, right? So we'll kind of toe the line and try to bargain with what we see and what we know to be true instead of just letting it go. Then also surrendering because we don't trust that maybe the people in front of us are good, but we also don't trust ourselves. We don't trust whether or not if or when we see something that won't be working well for us, that we'll say something. We maybe don't trust that maybe we actually know what good things are. This might go under the ability to receive, but I'm going to put it here and just double back on it when I get to the third point. But maybe we don't trust that we're worthy of feeling good things. Maybe we don't trust that sometimes some relationships and some things are not too good to be true. They're just good. And this is how the other half lives. Like the majority of the world, they're securely attached and are healthy. Those are some of the people that I watch. I love watching people in families where they get together and they can laugh. And you can tell that there's no family that's perfect, but you can tell there's just so much tenderness and joy and connection there. I was like, yeah, that's what I like. And if you come from a family where that wasn't the case, that there was fighting, there was alcoholism, there was incarceration, there was cheating, infidelity, there was narcissism, there was emotional neglect, there was stonewalling in times that your parents didn't ever talk to you, there was distress over finances and bills and poverty trauma, there were so many things that were happening. It's hard for you to believe that real life kindness and goodness can happen in a family, in a relationship, and a friendship outside of TV, that people like you get to have happy endings and to get to trust that for it to not be dangerous to yourself. So that's why working on our body trauma and working on our nervous system is also really important, because you can be trying your best to try to surrender and let go, but your body is like, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm supposed to trust them. Okay, we'll see. And you will sabotage your ability to trust and let things happen and to stay in the moment, because your brain and your body don't know what to do with this. They don't know what it feels like to be still. Also, what comes with the surrender is the faith as the second one. And so I kind of talked about this in the first one as well. Faith that good things are available to you. Faith that good things get to happen to you, or get to happen to someone like you, someone with your past, someone with your demeanor, someone with your phenotypes, someone with your income level, someone with your family background, your family with all the history that they have and all the imperfections they have. It gets to happen for you. It gets to happen for someone like you who's made the mistakes and who has sabotaged herself for half of her life. You still get to have good things happen to you. You haven't run out of time. You haven't run out of chances. You haven't missed your moment. And so having faith that good is available to you and can happen to you is huge in your ability to surrender and to let go and to let things happen for you and not just to you. And then the third one is the ability to receive. The common denominator when it comes to surrendering on both sides is your ability to receive. I get to receive goodness when it comes my way. I get to receive information and I get to make a decision on whether or not I am going to change what I'm doing or continue to follow what I'm doing. Tonight in my recovery school program, I'm actually adding some lessons to our dating course. So one of the bonuses that folks get is a dating program that's specifically for love addicts and love avoidance to learn how to date with these things in mind, the ways that we can kind of get in our head and sabotage and to date with purpose. And there's like cheat sheets and scripts and all this stuff in there. And so I'm recording two new lessons, but I decided to do it at a group call tonight so that they could be there and ask me questions as I teach it and just get the information right there in the moment. One of the lessons is talking about changing your mind when you get new information about someone. If I first meet someone and I'm head over heels and I'm like, this is it and this is the one. And then the more I date them and the more I talk to them, I'm like, huh, that's interesting. I don't have to stick to the original belief and fantasy that I created. I get to use the information that's in front of me. I get to receive the information that I have to make the right decision for myself. Being able to surrender is about not holding on to a certain outcome, not trying to make something happen either way, but just the trust and the surrender and the faith to know that everything that happens to me is for my good and my purpose. And if you believe in a higher power, and for my higher power's good and perfect will towards me. And so all I have to do is stay here and trust and let go of the things that don't serve me, because the things that do can and will come to me as soon as I get out the way. Okay, so that is it for today's podcast episode. I hope that you found it helpful. I hope that you enjoy that poem. I hope that any of the programs also that I mentioned, I did not plan to mention them, but any of those programs that may be of a good fit to you, that you can go ahead and explore them. I talked about the no contact support group. So if you're someone who needs to let go of a trauma bonded relationship and surrender, I take you month by month through a process of letting go of that, and you don't need to do it on your own, which is what it used to be in the past when I offered no contact support. I get to walk you through that. You can do the I'm in love, now what program, which might get a different name, but helping you work through your love avoidance with the person that you are connected to and seeing what's your side versus their side. That's one of the things that I hear often, and that's part of the inspiration of this program too. Is I hear folks that are like, can a love addict and a love avoidant make it work? And so usually whenever you're acting in your intimacy pattern, it provokes the other person to also act in that pattern, or maybe that's the match for you. Or you could be acting your love addiction or your love avoidance, and the securely attached person is going to trigger the hell out of you because they're not going to be a part of the feedback and dysfunctional cycle back and forth. And so it's really going to stir up all of your stuff, and it's going to make it really hard for you to not be angry at them because all your bells and whistles are going to be going off. We're talking about that there. And then, of course, the Prosperous Podcaster for anyone who is wanting to grow and build your own podcast, get started, get out of your own head. I talk about the very simple ways that I've started this podcast. So if you're like, I got to have a big old studio and all that other stuff, I mean, of course, it's pretty, it's nice, and that could be something that you aspire to get to, but you got to get started first so that you can raise to those heights and to grow. And talking about helping you build something that works good for you and is sustainable. So you can learn about that by going to theprosperouspodcaster.com and the other programs by going to blackgirlsheal.org or just checking the show notes. And then, of course, the Love Addiction Recovery School, which I talk about all the time, which is my full main program, which is where I help you break through cycles of love addiction and love avoidance. And you can learn about that by going to therecoveryschool.com. But again, all of these links will be in the show notes as well. So that is it for now. Sending you all so much love, and I can't wait to see you in our next episode. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.